listening to The Realist Report. And now your host, John Friend.
All right, folks, welcome back to another edition of The Realist Report. This is your host, John Friend. Today is Sunday, April 21st, 2019, and today is Easter Sunday. So happy Easter to everyone out there listening. This is a live edition of The Realist Report, broadcast right here on eurofolkradio.com. Of course, my website is therealistreport.com, where you will find an extensive archive of these podcasts, as well as other radio programs I've participated in. You will also find all of my blog posts and articles, a contact page, my Twitter feed, which is embedded in the right-hand sidebar of the website, and many other useful and important links. I am a regular reporter for American Free Press, America's last real newspaper, and I also contribute to the Barnes Review, the bi-monthly history magazine affiliated with American Free Press. I encourage listeners to subscribe to these fine print publications. Check out AmericanFreePress.net and BarnesReview.org for all of the details. And before I bring on our special guest today, I did want to make two quick comments. First, TheRealistReport.com has officially been shut down by Stripe, an online payment processor, which is very similar to PayPal. And I announced this on the website earlier this week. I was personally and permanently banned from PayPal back in November of 2014. And at this point, I cannot even send people money using PayPal. Of course, I can't receive it, but I can't even send people money using PayPal. Now, unsurprisingly, Stripe has banned me. I received an extremely vague email from one of their customer service representatives about a week ago, basically, stating that I violated some of their policies. Which specific policies, I really don't know. They weren't clear about that. I did try to get some answers from Stripe management and was basically told that it was their decision to ban me and there was nothing I could do about it. And of course, I was expecting that. It's very, very familiar to me. I've been told that quite a few times over the years. So anyways, no big deal. This was bound to happen eventually, I guess. So I would just like to say, anybody that is interested in supporting the website and the work that we do here, please do consider making a donation to my P.O. Box, which is John Friend, P.O. Box 20514, Long Beach, California, 90801. And of course, those details are right there over at therealistreport.com for those interested. And then the second thing I wanted to say real quick before I bring on my guest is that tomorrow evening, I'm going to be heading up to downtown Los Angeles to attend an Andrew Yang rally, which should be a very interesting experience. I'll try to get some good photos and we'll probably make some updates about the rally while I'm there on Twitter. And then on Tuesday night, I'll be a guest on the Jeff Rentz program to discuss the Yang rally and I'm sure many other topics. I'll be joining Jeff live starting at 9 p.m. Pacific, the very last hour of his 3-hour live show. So please do tune in if you can. It should be a great chat with Rentz, as it always is. And with that said, let me introduce our special guest today, a long overdue conversation. Pastor Steve from Eurofolk Radio is joining us for this special Easter edition of The Realist Report. Pastor Steve, welcome to the program, sir. How are you today?
Oh, I'm fine. I've been looking forward to this since you contacted me. And your shows are always informative and interesting.
Well, thank you, sir.
Yep. You tend to take a little different view on a lot of things you put out, facts that other people are not actually putting out in little history stuff, and all the subterfuge and conspiracies behind the scenes. You're very experienced in that from what they've done to you.
And yes.
None of us in CI are strangers to that. They are in full panic mode. They are scared to death of us because we present the truth, and the truth is anathema to them. So,
yes. Yeah, I completely agree with you. Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. And it's great to be on a network like Eurofolk Radio where we're all basically on the same page, certainly when it comes to history and the Bible and our race and you know, other related topics. And, you know, we may disagree on some things from here to the, you know, from time to time, but we're all on the same page.
We have a common goal, and we know who the common enemy is.
Yes, absolutely.
And we take different avenues, perhaps, on defending against them, but it hits them on a varied front, and they can't handle all of it. It's coming from too many directions, and they're currently panicking, John. They're going into panic mode. They're shooting themselves in the foot with all the stupid stuff that they're doing, and I'm loving it, man. I'm watching the meltdown, and I enjoy it.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting times we are living in, no doubt. And this is our first conversation. I've heard you on a number of programs over the course of the past couple of years. You were a regular guest, I know, on Andy's program.
But Andy, Andy and Eli and I hooked up, and we're doing Signs of the End Times.
Yes. You know what, Pastor Steve, I wanted you to kind of just introduce yourself. Tell us about your website, your radio programs, and maybe some of the programs that you regularly participate in, like the one you're mentioning with Andy.
Okay. My website is the standard HTTPS for a secure site. https://, and then the www.pastor, P-A-S-T-O-R. Some people spell it wrong. pastor-steve.com. All of my shows are on there. I have items for sale, all my Torah studies, the Torah, the prophets, and the writings are now complete. They're available. I have all the word-for-word shows, which is Genesis all the way through Revelations. That's available on one of those zip drives, and that's listed on there. And I have links to all the other two Seedline sites. I support all my brothers in arms out there that really hit them hard. I have to add yours because you're new to EFR, and I'll get you on that website probably after the show here. So
very good, yeah.
And the downloads on my site are I can't count them anymore. It's just huge, especially last year. Because I go out worldwide, and I get letters and donations and stuff from foreign countries, you know, Sweden, Ireland, France, Germany, just all of it. And
very good.
All the books and everything are available for download on my site. You can do all that, or you can get hard copies, and it costs me to print. You can imagine printing costs. I can't just give them away. But Eli and I are involved in a prisoner Bible fund. We're not just sending Bibles to anybody. They have to vet themselves. Because a lot of guys in prison are game players, quite honestly. And they have to show fruits and give a history, and we have to be able to look them up and make sure. Because these Bibles are really nice. They're the scriptures for the Institute for Scripture Research, and I get them by the case. Matter of fact, I have a backlog of funds. I have more than I need right now. Barty, I've got a whole case, and I've got they're all in mailers. And then I've got a backlog in case we run out. I can order another case right away. I'm keeping strict books very, very strict books, and we don't waste any money. Sometimes I pick up the shipping myself, you know, when we first got started.
Right.
But I have enough. I have enough in the fund now to actually pay for the shipping, so I'm not out of pocket. I live on social insecurity, so you can imagine.
Right.
But I've been preaching for years. I mean, I was preaching while I was in prison. I went to prison for my beliefs. So.
Yeah, you know what? And I wanted you to maybe take, because we only have an hour, and I wanted you to take maybe 5 minutes. Could you do it in 5 minutes? Give us just like your basic experience doing this sort of radio, doing this sort of, you know, broadcasting,
your
involvement in the alternative media.
I had United Patriot Radio, which was on shortwave. Very early CI station. I had Willie Martin, and I had all kinds of people on there. And they came after me. They laid an ambush for me. They tried to kill me, and I defended myself, and I got away. And they captured me about 14 months later, and I did a 15-year prison stretch for self-defense. So,
wow.
When was this?
This
is back in the 80s and 90s.
Okay.
I've been out for 4 years now. I'm not going to complain because I really, with the help of Yahweh, got all the information that I needed, and I studied, and I really learned Hebrew and Greek while I was in prison. I didn't watch TV. I didn't do anything the other people did. They really thought I was weird, but they left me alone, and that's all I wanted. I don't want anything to do with any of that because they were still doing the same stuff they were doing on the street, and I wasn't a criminal before I went in. I just defended myself. That's not unbiblical. That's, you know, it's just one of those things. I did my time, and I did it without incident. I got all my good days, and Eli James picked me up at prison personally and took me to a little halfway house that I had to go through up here. And I got out of that, and I'm in a nice apartment, but my supervised release is up in December. That's 4 years of that. So not only did I get the 15 years, I got 4 years of supervised release. That's 19 years.
Yes, sir. Wow.
Okay. Well, for speaking the truth, I had the first CI radio station in the United States.
Wow. And very interesting.
It was on for years, and I was hardcore two-seed line CI, and I always have been, and that going to prison didn't change me. I'm still hardcore two-seed line CI. And I proclaim the glorious gospel of Yeshua Messiah, living son of Yahweh, and our Redeemer.
Which brings
us to the subject at hand today about Easter.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? Before we even dive right into Easter, I kind of wanted to talk about, like, I guess maybe just the role of Christianity in Western civilization and, you know, Western history, especially in light of some recent events like the fire, the catastrophe at the Notre Dame Cathedral over in Paris.
Early Western Christianity, when it first started, there was no Church of Rome.
Which is basically the Catholic Church, correct?
Yes. And Easter is a Catholic holiday. Okay, it was the Catholic Church used this pagan holiday for Ishtar, the goddess of fertility, to bring in all the pagans, the same way they did with Yule, Christ's Mass, which is forbidden in Scripture, where they have the Christmas tree and all the member, and the Germans, O Tannenbaum, it's Christmas tree. Christmas tree is pagan. Easter is pagan. It's a fertility holiday. Remember when they used to dance around the maypole and weave in and out? Well, in the early days when they danced around the maypole, they wove all the little ribbons and stuff all together. They would all strip off and just have an orgy. course, they don't do that now. Wouldn't be accepted. But early Christianity is not Judeo-Christianity of today. They didn't try to do away with the laws. They were still in effect, and they are today. The laws have not been done away with, but the churches, quote-unquote, have done away with them. Rome, you have a Jewish pope. You've had a number of Jewish popes. You got all the child touchers. You have that basilica over there in Rome. If you look at it, it's a serpent's head. If you go in it and photograph it, it's a serpent. A serpent face. I mean, what they pose as the church, quote unquote, and they have this cult that all these people have been locked in by family tradition year after year after year after year. And they've got these people brainwashed, and they're punished by their friends and neighbors and family if they leave the Catholic Church. Notwithstanding, the number of Catholics is dropping because people are leaving the Catholic Church because they're waking up.
Right. And you know what, Pastor Steve, let me interject very briefly, because I myself was raised Catholic, and I've talked about this with Eli before and many other people. I was raised Catholic. I still, you know, I'm still kind of torn because I sort of have like a respect for the Catholic tradition and for, I mean, because I think you could make a very convincing argument that Christianity and the Christian institutions, probably epitomized by the Catholic Church, really played the central role in the history of Western civilization and in educating people and, you know, fostering the sort of culture and the sort of traditions that we have today. Although, you know, of course, some of it may be flawed a little bit, but at the same time, I think it did play a very important role in our civilization, in our history. So what's your take on that?
Well, a lot of the explorers and stuff were sent out by the Catholic Church to establish power bases in other countries. The Catholic Church has many, many flaws, like praying to Mother Mary and the statues and I'm not going to just get in and just rip the Catholic Church today. I've done that before. And I was married to a Catholic, and she knew that I was not Catholic, but a Christian. And she divorced me because I wouldn't convert to Catholicism. I told her, I'm not going to convert. I don't believe in that.
Now, what denomination were you originally? Like, you know, like as a as
I
a
started
child.
Out Southern Baptist.
Okay.
Years ago.
Right.
Okay. Just fundamentalist, hardcore, hard shell Baptist, and went downhill from there. I got into CI back when I lived in Ohio. I mean, we're talking early 80s. Okay, I've been CI. I was in the Klan. Until the Klan got so heavily infiltrated that it became useless. And I got out of that because there was no point in wasting my time, and they were not doing CI functions. They were doing Masonic stuff, and I'll have nothing to do with that. It's been a long road. You get in something organized by men, and then it turns out perverted. And then you have to get out of that, and you try to find something else, and then you're in that for a while, and somebody worms their way in, and that gets perverted. We have been able to stave off the infiltration here in CI. We've had to boot some people out, and they've turned against us. They are now enemies, and that's unfortunate, but we can't go along with some of the stuff that they're doing. We're not going to go there. If they are not going by the Bible, then they cannot call themselves CI. They really can't. we keep all the fasts, we keep all the feasts, we don't eat pork, we don't eat shellfish, we don't eat catfish, we're right. not drunk.
You know what?
Not drunkards.
You know what? Before you start getting into that, I there's a couple other questions I have. One, is it fair to say that pretty much all, you know, I guess mainstream, quote unquote, Christian holidays are actually pagan in origin? And I'm talking about Easter. I'm talking about Christmas, as you mentioned. But I guess even other holidays, they're basically pagan in origin. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. Like Saint Valentine's Day, all of that stuff. We keep the scriptural holidays. Now, we keep a different calendar. We do not use, at least in our group, the Gregorian calendar. We use the solar calendar as formulated by Enoch in the scriptures. The Passover this month was on the 4th. That is not when the Jews, quote unquote, keep their so-called Passover. Then the Feast of Unleavened Bread. I was gone. I had all the shows programmed into the server so I could keep the whole deal. I came home on Friday the 12th with Eli. Eli dropped me off here. I kept the Passover on the 4th and the Feast of Unleavened Bread all the way through. One of the brothers bought a bunch of tubs and washcloths, and we did the foot washing ceremony like Christ did at the Passover there. We washed each other's feet and we prayed to Yahweh. We use the name of Yahweh and Yahshua. Our group does. And there are others that don't. There are single seed liners. I don't want to get into a peeing contest with anybody. We all have a common enemy, and there are a lot of groups out here that know who the common enemy is, and an enemy of my enemy is my friend. It'll all come out in the wash. We can present our program like we do, and if they take it, they take it. If they don't, they don't. But we can still be friends and work together for a common goal. Now, when it comes to religious observation, our group is sort of separate on that because we have a strict set of rules that we follow.
Right.
There are other groups that vary and differ slightly. Okay. I'm not going to be arrogant and say, oh, you're not going to make it into the kingdom. You're going to hell because you celebrate something on a different day. That's
well, now I don't think that's people saying stuff like that. That's not our business to even be making those calls or even concerning ourselves with that, because that's ultimately.
Correct.
Yeah, right. So it's a waste of breath to even getting into that territory. I got a question for you. Is there anything in your mind that is redeeming in anything associated with mainstream Christianity these days?
No.
Okay. Fair enough. No,
short and sweet.
No.
No.
No, and
totally
I agree with you.
Apostatized. Completely sold out. Gone.
You know, it really is sad because the biggest, and see, my thing, like, okay, I don't know how much you know about, like, my awakening to all this sort of stuff, but I've basically just been trying to get to the bottom of what's going on in the world that we live in. And, you know, it started with, you know, kind of like conspiracies, like 9/11 conspiracies was like my first step into all this. And then I got into revisionism, you know, World War II revisionism. And then, you know, many other topics, and all of a sudden Christian identity, what's that?
You're kicking over rocks on the beach and uncovering nasty little secrets that have been hidden. A little bit here, bit there, and it all mounts up. Because I listen to your shows, and I hear what you present, and you've uncovered a lot of stuff, and you're pretty savvy. And
thank you, sir. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, that's why you're on EFR.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? The most interesting thing is that, you know, and I've never tried to. I mean, I genuinely like do not have a bias. I'm just concerned about the truth. And I heard Pastor Eli James originally, the first Christian identity message I ever heard was Pastor Eli James speaking with Deanna Spingola. And he was kind of just laying out the basics, talking about the Bible, talking about like what the Bible really meant. And, you know, frankly, I was never like a Bible, you know, like a Bible scholar. You know, I was raised Catholic, but, you know, it was sort of superficial. I was always a genuine Christian in the sense that, you know, I cared about people. I always tried to do what's right. I was always honest. And, you know, I really, like, it's very hard for me to tell a lie. Like, it's obvious if I'm lying about something. You know, those sorts of things. That sort of Christian tradition, that sort of Christian culture has always been very innate in me almost. So what he was saying was like very, very interesting, very striking, and it made perfect sense. And it's like, oh, wait, hold on. Like the Jews are not the people of the Bible, and God's chosen people, quote unquote, are actually like white Europeans. Oh my gosh, that makes so much sense. Like it just made sense. And the more I studied it, the more I realize that it's actually very, very solidly founded, you know, historically, archaeologically. I mean, you know, I could go on here linguistically. And I'm no expert on these matters, but I've listened to a lot of people talk about this and read a lot about it. And it's absolutely crystal clear to me that the white European peoples are for sure the people of the Bible. There's no doubt about it. It not only makes sense, but it's what history shows us, right? So there's
confusion. It's the 800-pound gorilla in the living room. It's very hard to ignore. But
yeah,
there are those that will just walk around the gorilla all day long because they're stuck in a rut. They are afraid to learn anything because they might be cast out of a little social club that they're in. Which is what most of the churches have become. They're a social club. It's a feel-good club. Everybody tells each other how they're so righteous, and then they go back out into the world and live in the world for the rest of the week. They do their thing on Sunday and then live for the world the rest of the time. That's not what it says to do in the Bible. It's got to be 24/7. Yeah, 24/7. There are certain things you just don't do. And if you lose a job over it, as you have, I have. If you go to prison over it, I've done that. Some of us have been killed over it.
So be it. If that's what it
is. Well, this is only a testing ground, John. This is only a testing ground. You occupy until the end, even unto death, and then you will get the second life. And if you don't, and you sell out, and you weenie out, and you go back out into the world, you lose your eternal life. I mean, it's very clear. It's either or. And people whine and cry, and they want to try to combine the two. Oh, well, I'm not so bad. I do this and this and this. But then you do this and this and this. That is strictly against Yahweh's laws. And Yahweh's not going to let that slide. You cannot hide from him. You cannot lie to him. You can lie to yourself. You can lie to other people. You can build a web of lies and conceal things. But Yahweh is going to know the truth, and you're going to have to face him on your day of judgment. And everybody's going to have a day of judgment.
Yes, I totally agree with that. No doubt about that. You know, one thing, like, in sort of my awakening, all this was, it was just so clear to me. I mean, after I was, like, thoroughly convinced after hours of research that 9/11 was actually, you know, organized and orchestrated by a bunch of Jewish criminals, many of them in the state of Israel,
in our own government. I watched 9/11 live. I was sitting on the couch with Charlie Puckett, who was the head of the Kentucky militia. He was my commander. I was a major, and he was the general. and I was in his living room with some others. We watched those planes, and that one plane just sort of struck a little bit sideways, and most of the debris splattered outward. Then those buildings went down like pancakes, boom, 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 and Building 7, where all the bullion was, they detonated that. Of course, all the bullion had been removed. And it was
pretty obvious to you that what the government media was saying was not true.
And the Israelis dancing on the roof.
Absolutely, yep.
And the change in the insurance policy not too long before, where the guy absolutely cleaned up on it, like the Oklahoma City bombing, where the building was blown from the inside outward in a concave pattern, and they went into the basement with all the armed troops, and all the evidence from Waco was in that basement, and it all mysteriously disappeared.
Yep, exactly. Similar things were happening on 9/11.
And they think we're so stupid. Well, some are.
I know.
But a lot of us aren't.
Yeah. Well, it's because, I mean, most people just don't have the time to sit around and think and analyze everything. You know, they just see what's on television and just accept it. It's a very superficial age we live in. And, you know, technology is just, it's a powerful tool, but it's a powerful tool in the hands of an evil people that basically control it. And, you know, one thing was absolutely clear after I really got to the bottom of 9/11. It was very, very obvious that Jews are just so hostile to Christians, to white people. And history itself, if you look at history itself, it's just one long-running feud between Christians and Jews. And, you know,
Esau versus Jacob. Yes.
Absolutely, yes. And the Christian identity perspective is very clear about this, and it makes absolutely perfect sense when you stop and think about it. And again, you know, I want to bring up this this fire at the cathedral over in Paris, the Notre Dame Cathedral. I was actually in Paris for exactly like 24 hours when I was in college. I was studying abroad over there, and I was there so briefly. I got to go to the Eiffel Tower for like an hour, and then I went to Notre Dame and walked around for a minute, and then I had to take another train. So I didn't even really get to see it and experience it in all that much detail anyways, but at least I went there, and then this happens, which was maybe a week and a half ago or so. There was a big fire. I haven't read too much about it. I do know that it's very suspicious, first off. And secondly, they were immediately saying that, oh, no, there's, you know, this was an accident. There was no suspected foul play, no terrorism, no anything like that. But the Jewish response to it, and when I say the Jewish response, I mean, like rabbis, for example. I got an article here from.
They had burned copies of the Talmud outside Notre Dame at one point.
Yeah, and yeah. Back in the 1200s.
Retribution and hate, that hatred goes all the way back.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, and this is made it very clear. And there's many examples of this. I'm just bringing this up because of, you know, the recent event at the Notre Dame Cathedral. But I'm looking at an article here from the Times of Israel, and the headline here is Radical Rabbi Says Notre Dame Fire Retribution for 13th Century Talmud Burning, which is what you're referring to. And this is a rabbi named Shlomo Avner, and he's like one of these like very radical, like settler-type rabbis. Yeah, exactly. So of course, he's, you know, kind of on the far right of the Jewish, you know, the Jewish political spectrum, I guess. But still, it doesn't matter. This is how a lot of Jews think. They have this deep-seated hatred and animosity towards our people because they think that we've been...
How much farther right can you get than Bibi the baby killer Netanyahu?
Right, exactly. Well, this guy is, you know, right in line with
Netanyahu. Oh, I'm moderate. Shake hands with Trump.
Well, and he says here, he says, Christianity is our number one enemy throughout history. They tried to convert us by arguments and by force, carried out an inquisition against us, burned the Talmud, expulsions, pogroms. Western anti-Semitism draws from Christianity's hatred of the murderers of God. It also had a role in the Holocaust. And this is a very right-wing rabbi saying this, but this sentiment, what he's expressing here, is entirely mainstream for pretty much any Jew you would talk to on the streets. They do think that we have, when I say we, I mean white Western Christian peoples, that we have been persecuting them and harming them and targeting them, which in the past, I guess we sort of have, because in the past, let me say something real quick. We did at one point understand, and even, and when I say we, I even mean Americans. You go back and read like what Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson were saying about Jews. We understood and recognized Jews as a very alien, outside, hostile racial or like ethnic group living amongst us. They were not like the same as us. We recognize that. This has a long tradition in our civilization, in our history. But what I wanted to ask you is, what changed that? How did Jews all of a sudden go from being viewed as the killers of Christ, as this outside, alien, backwards, hostile entity living amongst us in Europe, living amongst us in Russia, living amongst us in the Middle East, for that matter? You know, when we were in the Middle East, in America, etc. When did that change? How did that change?
It changed because of the international bankers buying all this stuff and in providing the funds to infiltrate our Christian institutions of learning. Now they've Judaized all the colleges and the news media and the print media and everything else. Look at how they punish people for producing alternate views on the internet. Control of information, brainwashing. They never stop. They never stop, ever. It's not like white folks. White folks don't behave that way. They'll back off for a while. Okay, we got it under control. We'll leave them alone for a while. They're plotting a resurgence even while you're leaving them alone. They are parasites that are going to feed on the host until it kills the host.
And I think if you look at like humanity from like a biological perspective, like strictly studying humans as like, you know, scientifically, I guess, you have to look at how the Jews have operated historically, even now, and they're not doing anything productive. They're not, you know, advancing humanity or offering us really any real benefits. They are exactly, as you say, you know, parasites.
They don't just hate us. They hate everybody that's not them.
Right. That's true. Okay? I agree.
Everybody.
They totally hate
blacks. They hate Hispanics. They hate this. They hate that. They hate everybody that's not part of their particular mixed race tribe. And they can't survive on their own. Their DNA requires that they mix with other people, because their life force is so weak that it won't sustain them. They have to strengthen their bloodline, and then that satanic DNA over a period of time will destroy that new infusion of blood, and they become just like the other ones. I mean, they have so many genetic diseases. They have so many psychological aberrations. You know, they have perverted this whole idea of Easter. That was a ploy by these same people. They instituted this. All perversions of the Christian message, the perversions of the printed version of the Bible, are by Jewish publishing houses and the Jewish translators. And I have straight Hebrew script, And the Jewish translation of the Old Testament is not what is in the Hebrew script. It's for the dumb Jews that don't know how to read Hebrew, and they use those to keep them brainwashed. They're cannon fodder. You have an elite group of the Jews, and you have the lesser Jews. The Uber-Juden and the Unter-Juden. And the Unter-Juden are used as cannon fodder. And they will sacrifice their own, brother. They will, just with a gleam in their eye, they'll slaughter a whole, they'll plant a bomb in a synagogue, their own synagogue. They're the ones that are painting swastikas on the synagogues, knocking over Jewish gravestones. Then they get caught.
They always get caught. All day long they get caught. And then it's no big deal in the media. I know.
No.
I've been writing about these fake hate crimes involving Jews, and of course involving, you know, other non-whites, and it's just scandalous, man, the what goes on and what people don't even know. And yet, you know,
they ignore it, John. They ignore it.
Well, yeah, a lot of, I'm telling you right now, at least in my experience, a lot of more and more people, I should say, are noticing more and more. I'll say that right now. But not only that, so there's not only all of these fake hate crimes, but real crimes committed against whites are just totally whitewashed. I'm sure you saw
all the child touchers. Oh,
right. Well, I'm sure you saw the situation out in it was in Minneapolis, and I think it was Minneapolis at the Mall of America, where this black, you know, total career criminal basically grabs this young white child and throws him off of like a third floor balcony.
Yes.
Yeah, and then you see like mainstream media headlines: child falls mysteriously from a balcony, and then you read down in the article, and it turns out some black savage threw the kid off the roof.
Yeah, I read that.
I mean? It's like it's so insane, like the way things are presented, and it's very obvious to people. People are picking up on this now. You know, I wanted to jump back and just make a quick comment about this sort of the way that Jews have been viewed historically versus now, because again, as I mentioned, and I think we both agree on this, that they were historically viewed as this, the other. They were not us. They were not white Christians, regardless of whatever nation they lived in, right? So, you know, if they were in Germany, they were not Germans. If they were in England, they were not English. If they were in America, they were not American. They were Jews. And this was, you know, pretty widespread and accepted throughout the Western world, at least for a long period of time. This all changed primarily, in my view, due to the Enlightenment. And, you know, the rights of man and all this other nonsense, where, you know, various monarchs and even here in America granted equal rights, quote unquote equal rights,
that,
political
that
rights to Jews and other minorities.
And
this process, yeah, oh, absolutely, totally bought and paid for. And this process, this sort of mindset where everybody's equal, this accelerated, you know, exponentially all throughout the 1900s. Largely due to communist and, you know, Marxist narratives, you know, this idea that, you know, race doesn't matter, race is not real, it's a social construct, you know, America and other Western nations are just proposition nations, and, you know, anybody can potentially come to America and become an America, and we're a nation of immigrants, and this sort of nonsense. These were Jewish communist narratives specifically designed to undermine the racial integrity of our once basically white nationalist governments. I mean, think about it. America was founded by white people explicitly for white Christian people.
What did I say?
I mean,
it's very, very clear.
Go ahead.
They never stop.
They will never stop. They're relentless.
They will chip away, chip away, chip away. They chip away at the foundation of America. And now look at what we've got. We've got
now
all
we got
these Jews in the White House. We've got Hollywood. Yep. We've got all these movie moguls. We've got politicians. We've had how many Jewish presidents have we had?
We have Babylon all over again, right here in America, is what we have.
Yep.
And it really is that bad. We're at a point now where we have homosexuality everywhere, celebrated, promoted. We have transgenderism, and you look, you know, and I follow this. I'm sure you follow my website to a certain extent. I have an entire section, News from the Jews, where I'm literally quoting and you know, blogging about news articles I find from explicitly Jewish news outlets, and they themselves admit that they're behind all of this. They not only admit it, they celebrate it, and they brag about it, like it's a huge accomplishment for them.
They're rubbing our noses in it.
Yes, absolutely. And they're behind homosexuality, they're behind transgenderism, they're of course behind the push for multiculturalism and massive third world immigration into the West. Feminism. I mean, I could go on. People listening know these things, but it's to me, what's so incredible is that they themselves will admit it and boast about it in their own publications. And then when we say it and like criticize it and point it out to our fellow white people, we're demonized as like these anti-Semitic, you know, conspiracy theorists. Like it's something we made up in our minds. You know what I mean?
Well, first of all, they're not Semitic. The white race
right,
is Semitic.
Yeah.
Okay. It is summed up in the Book of Obadiah. The house of Esau shall be a stubble, and the house of Joseph a flame.
See,
Burned up. Yep. It's all planned. They have to show themselves with the wicked methods of the Amalekites until they're in full sway and they're evil. And then the second coming's going to come. And it's not going to be men that do the slaying. It's going to be the divine beings that come that are not the touchy-feely little cherubs like you think, you know, with little cute little wings and hearts. These are going to be killer angels. And they're going to fight
now,
people, and they're going to fight their masters, these demons in shoe leather. There are demons and Nephilim on the earth now. And that's going to be the divine battle. Then the rest of us in Yahweh's chosen people, in the army of Yahweh, are going to take part, and we're going to go against a lot of these men, the ones that the angels leave for us to clean up.
Now, I got a question for you, because you're kind of getting into, I guess, more nuanced Christian identity sort of perspectives. I wanted you to can you take 5 minutes or so? We only got about 10 minutes left. Can you take maybe 5 minutes and just lay out, like, how would you describe or explain the basic ideas, the basic tenets of Christian identity from a historical and a biblical perspective? How would you kind of explain it to somebody
okay.
that's brand new to this info? Yeah.
Okay. New person. You have been lied to in a deliberate pattern of lies for a long time. They were designed to deceive you into believing the lies. It's a constant barrage of them. We show through biblical truth and study that the Edomites, which is who they are, they're Edomites, that are posing as the tribe of Judah, okay, are not. They are not Israelites at all, but they are Edomites mixed with cursed seed. They are great pretenders. They are masqueraders. They are manipulators. And Yeshua said, "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you wish to do." That is what they're doing. They are lusting like their father, and they wish to destroy the true seed of Israel. Now, a lot of our Israelites are participating in this. They're believing these lies and they're living lascivious lifestyles instead of Christian lifestyles. And they're aiding and abetting their own destruction. Our job in Christian identity is to use the scripture to exhort to righteousness so these people repent and enter the remnant population that will enter the kingdom. The remnant's going to be a small part of the whole. There are a lot of people that Yahweh does not want. They have hardened their hearts and have gone too far, and he's written them off. You're not going to get to them no matter how much preaching you do. My shows are for the fence sitters. The guys that are, man, that sounds good, but what do I do about it? Well, I try to knock them on the fence on the side of Yeshua, known as Jesus. That's not his name. His name is Yeshua. Yah saves. We are trying to awaken the true Israelites all over the world in the Israelite countries, wherever they may be found, in dispersion. We are in dispersion.
They can meaning, repent. Right. Well, in dispersion, you mean meaning our people originally were in a certain area and we've expanded all over the world.
We're no longer in that area. That is right cursed now. Area right now, and we are cast out of the former land of Israel. Israel is a people, a racial people, pure-blooded Adamic people with no admixture of any other kind of race to the Adamic seed line. If you have any racial admixture, they are not Israel. They can never be Israel. They are not part of the promise to Israel. Israel right. is an exclusive yep. group of people, and it's not the Jews.
Yes, exactly. And see, that to me, I mean, even like a basic reading of the Bible, that to me is very, very, very clear. I don't know how this could be confusing to anybody, because I mean, the Bible, like over and over and over again, is like saying the covenant is with Israel. It's very, as you say, exclusive people. But I just think it's been so twisted and misinterpreted.
Yes,
and distorted.
The people don't read the scripture very clearly. Yeshua says, "I come not except for the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Those in dispersion. All throughout it, that's Yeshua. Yep. But then they say, oh, everybody, he loves everybody. That's set aside. Where? Show me.
Yeah, exactly.
And they can't, it's a message of love. Love, love, love. Oh, love, love, love.
Well, that's the Jewish communist Marxist narratives.
You love everybody except they don't love you.
Right. They want you to love everyone except for white people. It's not okay to be white in America or in any other Western country anymore. That's the thing that's very clear, and that's what I think people are noticing now. Is that, like, it's open season on whitey now, you know what I mean, on white people. Mm. And it's expressed in a dozen different ways on a daily basis, even for, like, random people, like, that are not in tune with what we're saying. You know, they see it, and it's, you know, it's getting harder and harder to ignore or not to notice. And that's a good thing, and I think that reflects that we are getting to a point where we're reaching that sort of end times, as the show that you participate in is called, if I'm not mistaken. You know, we are at an age where I think a lot of this is coming to fruition. A lot of people are either going to recognize what's going on or they're not. And, you know,
You have a large segment of the white race that is apologetic. Oh, we've done so much evil, we're to blame, and we need to pay reparations, and I'm so sorry that I'm white. And it's nauseating.
It is. It's sickening. It's disgraceful. Well, it's disgusting.
And when the second coming happens, they are going to be among those that are weeping and wailing and gnashing the teeth.
Right.
And now, I can only reach who I can reach. You can only reach who you can reach. Eli can, we all have different formats, okay? That's why I'm glad to participate in the show, because your format is so informative. You are a fact-based show, okay? Time, place, date, item, action, you know, what happened, when, where, why, who, how was it accomplished?
Yes.
That's
I
a
try
great
to.
Deal
I
of
try
your show.
To, yes, I try to.
And I enjoy that so much. It's a backup for what we're saying.
Well, right. And I think it's, see, to me, all I'm trying to do is really explain what's going on and what has gone on, I guess, historically, to just average people. Because, look, at the end of the day, I'm a very, very, very average guy. I mean, I am. You
we
know,
all
I have
are.
My flaws.
We all are.
Yeah. Yeah, I have my flaws. I have my you know, areas where I exceed, I guess. You know, I'm just an average person. I'm trying to do what's right. I'm trying to be honest. That's the key thing, I think, Pastor Steve, is I'm trying to be honest. I'm trying to be real. That's why I named it The Realist Report. I'm trying
yeah,
to be
I mean,
real
what
about
you, what
history,
you, what
race,
you say,
and reality.
What you say a lot of times is basically when you put a bunch of facts out there, hey, wake up! They're killing us.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
At the top,
well,
you're
not only that,
on the church steeple yelling that, and it, some will listen, some will not. You're only going
to
reach who you can reach, but you got to keep on keeping on. We have to keep on. We can't quit because they sure aren't quitting.
Absolutely, yeah, and exactly, and now we're at a point where we've advanced to a point where, like, literally anybody can get on the internet and create a website, they can create a YouTube channel, they can create a blog or whatever, or a podcast, and express themselves and do the things that we're doing right now. Now, of course, there's going to be censorship problems. You're going to get deplatformed by Stripe, for example, as I mentioned at the very beginning of the program, or whatever. There's going to be challenges.
A lot of fakes, too. A lot of fakes.
Yeah, exactly. There's going to be a lot of phony people out there. Yes, that's true. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that anybody has the capability of figuring out exactly what is going on and who's doing what and who the good guys are, who the bad guys are, who the people that are telling the truth, you know, who's telling the truth and who's not telling the truth. And that, to me, is very empowering. And that's what I'm all about, really. That's all I'm trying to do. That's all I think anybody, all of us, I should say, on Eurofolk Radio are trying to do. You know, we want to tell the truth. We want to get to the bottom of things.
EFR
we want to tell the truth.
The go-to place for this kind of stuff. We're the
Absolutely.
Number one platform out here, and we are protected by the Father. You have to notice that. With all the attacks on us, we've been protected, so it's amazing.
Yeah,
but
yeah. Well, you know what? We're just about out of time. I wanted to say a couple other things before we wrap up. Number one, I think you know, the Christian identity perspective is very detailed, very nuanced. There's a lot to it. If you guys are new to it, listening, do check it out. I mean, at least consider it. To me, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, I'm no expert and a lot of this stuff, but it absolutely makes sense to me, and it's very empowering. It's very sort of fulfilling, I guess, you know, knowing that, oh wow, look, the Bible really isn't how we've been taught. And of course, to me, what's very clear is that the Jews are not God's chosen people, right? That's very, very clear. They're at war with God's chosen people, who I think historically have been the white Western peoples of Europe and of course America and in other, you know, countries like Australia, I guess. That's all very clear to me. And another thing I'd like to say, I want to give a plug very briefly to the Hellstorm audiobook by Paul English of Eurofolk Radio and also Tom Goodrich, who's been a guest on this network many, many times, of course. So I did want to mention that. You can find it. You can download it. I think it's right about $20. I was just looking at it before we started the program. So I'd encourage people to check that out. Download the book, you know, contribute $20 to the cause and go out and get the book. And Pastor Steve, I want to give you the last word here on Easter. Thank you again. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been a good conversation. I'd actually like to do this again and maybe get into some more details. But for now, I'll give you the last word.
Well, bye. Yahweh bless. It's 7 o'clock. I think we're over time. So
we are. We're still recording, but we are definitely okay. Offline now. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate it. We'll have to do this again.
Absolutely. It was very much fun. And there's so much to talk about.
I know. All right. Well, hey, thank you very much, sir. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.